This is Todd Kennedy with Soundwaves, and I would like to welcome into the studio today multi-Emmy award-winning composer, guitarist, producer, author, and now WFIT DJ, Brian Tarquin.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for coming in today.
I love it.
We are really looking forward to this session here. First, can you introduce the band that you have today?
Yeah, sure. It's my good friend and compadre, Reggie Pryor on drums. I've been playing with him for over 20 years. And on bass is Brandon Miller, a new addition to the group.
So you are involved in a project to help veterans, and can you talk a little bit about that project?
Sure, sure. I've got the new project's called Guitars for Veterans, Brian Tarquin and Heavy Friends, and that basically I've gotten in a lot of great players like Tony Franklin from The Firm, who's a great fretless bass player. I have Mike Stern. I have the jazz Grammy jazz winning guitarist who was with Miles Davis and Billy Cobham, and I'm having Steve Morris back for this project as well from Deep Purple, and I'm happy to say that Zach Wilde's going to be on this as well from Ozzy. So it's going to get a lot of big shredders and a lot of great guitarists, and basically partial proceeds go down to the Fisher House Foundation, which basically give housing to veterans' families while veterans are undergoing medical treatment.
Right. So you have some heavy hitters on that album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, can you play us a song?
Sure. This is 86th Street. I did this a while back, probably in 2008, 2009, on an album called Fretworks.
All right. We have Brian Tarquin live in the studio. That's Brian Tarquin on WFIT 89.5 FM with his outstanding band. Now, Brian, a lot of people might not be familiar with your music, but they have heard your music before because you have composed a lot of music for many, many TV shows. For instance, CSI, Good Morning America, Jimmy Kimmel, Late Night with David Letterman, one of my favorites, South Park there. How did you make the transition from being a working musician, a touring musician, to composing for TV and film?
You know, because I was an instrumental musician, it kind of naturally came because of the instrumentation that I did. And on a lot of those shows, they were using my music off of the records. And in the early days, I was you know, doing the smooth jazz, and I had a lot of hits with that. And so they were starting to use all of that kind of music. And so they would hire me to do a lot of, you know, custom scoring for them.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how the transition made. It was kind of a natural transition.
Did they go to and say, hey, we need this guitar part to sound like Jeff Beck, and you could just do that?
Yeah, they would go, and they would hardly ever reference Jeff Beck. That was a little too hip for the room there. But I think they would actually reference guitar parts that we need, or kind of a feel and stuff, more of an emotion. And then I would kind of, you know, compose in that manner.
Right. Now, in the late 90s, you were part of a jazz movement called acid jazz.
That's right.
That was like really funky music.
Yeah, I really liked the acid jazz. I started that like in the mid-90s, and I went with an album, or actually a label called Instinct Records, and they sent me to basically to London to work, and that's where that whole thing came out.
Yeah, that label, they were based in London?
Were actually based in New York, but they had a lot of British acts because it was all based, you know, that whole scene was based in Europe and the UK. So they had sent me there to do a couple records. And I really liked the, you know, the whole idea. At the time, it was fresh to bring, you know, that kind of hip-hop big beat groove behind, you know, kind of jazz flavor.
Yeah. Now, you're sort of a pioneer in fusion music. Can you sort of give me your definition of fusion? Because it seems to be all over the place sometimes.
It's kind of a change. Yeah, it's kind of changes. But, you know, fusion's kind of what I always think fusion, the original fusion's kind of like Mahavishnu Orchestra or what's another, Return to Forever, or, you know, of course, Jeff Beck in the 70s, and it kind of, and Jan Hammer, and, you know, Max Middleton, all those guys, and kind of morphed into like this, I almost thought like modern fusion was acid jazz in the 90s, you know, 20 years ago. So now, you know, fusion, I think, is really, you know, a culmination of kind of probably world beat music with rock music, with jazz, with, you know, something that's, you know, usually obviously instrumental and kind of incorporates a lot of different styles. But usually it's kind of like a rock jazz.
Right.
You know,
I mean, that's the thing about fusion, it can pull from different sources and things, and there's always, you know, new sounds, fresh sounds going on. Have you always played fusion music? Was that sort of your first love, or?
Yeah, you know, that was always my thing. You know, I loved it from the world. You know, originally I came from rock, you know, like the Zeppelin and the 70s and stuff, you know, growing up, you know, all those bands were you know, really big, and obviously, you know, Jimmy Page was huge, and then of course Jeff Beck, when he came out, that kind of like changed everything for me when those, you know, the Blow by Blow and Wired records came out, and so you know, I listened to a lot of that, and I was like, wow, that's really cool, because it's kind of like the way he was pulling from blues, jazz, and rock, and even funk, and so that's kind of, you know, kind of like I always was an instrumentalist. You know, I was in bands, you know, high school bands and stuff that was top, you know, top 40 of the time, and but, you know, I just, you know, kind of didn't get anything from it, you know. I just, you know,
is it challenging to be an instrumentalist, you know, not relying on a singer to be in the front?
It is, it's the only thing challenging about it is for people to basically listen, because you really got to get them to listen to the instrumentation and to the melodies and stuff without it, you know. It's not obviously for everybody, you know, you have to have that tuned in ears kind of thing. So,
yeah. Well, if you want to hear more of Brian and fusion music, you can tune in on Monday night to 10 p.m. for Guitar Tracks, where Brian hosts a jazz show here on WFIT, and he'll give you, you know, a rundown, a synopsis of some great fusion music. And the amazing thing on your radio show, there's such a wide variety of artists that
you
play.
You know what, I pull from like everybody that I've really loved from the past 40 years. You know, I'm pulling guys like John McLaughlin and Jeff Beck. And then I'm, you know, I play, you know, Ronnie Jordan, which I always thought was, he was kind of like the father of the acid jazz movement from in the 90s. And, you know, but I'll also play, you know, some new cuts from like Max Middleton and the Brand New Heavies, which is another kind of an acid jazz. So instrumental music to me is instrumental music. I don't think it can be, you know, honed in unless it's like, you know, classical music right into one genre or one. That's why I loved about fusion, because it was pulling so much stuff from everywhere that it, and instrumental music is just such a cool. And I like to play tracks on the show that are really kind of rarity tracks. Like I'll play a Jimmy Page track that nobody knows that he's, and it's an instrumental track that he did for, you know, the Death Wish 2 soundtrack, which is kind of a really cool soundtrack. Whereas, you know, I won't play, you know, Stairway to Heaven from Led Zeppelin. Everybody knows that, but I, you know, there's so much.
Yeah, I think we've heard that before.
Yeah, I think we've heard that one before. But, you know, I like just, you know, rarity tracks where you don't think somebody did that. You know, there's another track I love is called B-Fingers, which is another guy from Led Zeppelin, John Paul Jones. And
now, he also did a lot of composing for films and
yeah,
things.
He did. Yeah, he did a lot of that. And but of course, you know, his day job was much more.
It definitely paid the bills.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, let's hear some of this great fusion music. We have Brian Tarquin in our studio today, and let's go.
Sure. This is a song called Razor's Edge that was actually off of one of my Instinct records called High Life. We'll be right back.
We are cooking in the WFIT studio today with Brian Tarkwin on guitar. We also have Reggie Pryor on drums and Brandon Miller on bass. That was a blistering set there.
Thank you.
Man. Now, not only are you a guitar player and you compose for TV and film, you also find the time to run a record label as well, Guitar Tracks Records.
Yes.
And you've produced works from Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, B.B. King. What was it like to work with those legends?
Well, those guys, you know, with a few of those tracks, I picked up those tracks from a record label that had them, Cleopatra Records in L.A. And so they had had that, you know, those big tracks like Jimmy Page and B.B. King. And, I mean, they were great, you know, as far as, you know, working with getting, you know, the music license and all of that. I wasn't in the studio with those particular tracks, but, you know, the others with the,
did they provide any feedback or insight on how they wanted those tracks done?
No.
No.
I think they were living in a castle at that time. Yeah. Right?
So. Well, it definitely looks good on your resume.
Yeah, anyways. Right. Yeah, what I did was I wanted to, you know, again, back to the label, I wanted to release, you know, things that were quirky and things that were rare. And so, you know, like I got B.B. King live doing the, you know, paying the cost to be the boss, and you know, the Jeff Beck and the Jimmy Page are very interesting because they come from a session with Lord Sutch that Jimmy Page produced back in 69. Lord Sutch was like this, just a hanger guy, but he screamed and he sang, and it was called, you know, Screaming Lord Sutch. And he just got all these guys in a studio in London, and basically Jimmy Page produced it, and so he had Jeff Beck come in and some other guys, and it was very interesting stuff. I mean, you know, I think Bonham was in on the sessions too. It was kind of like the very, very beginning of, like, you know, Led Zeppelin before they really took off, and so they were doing this session work for this Lord Sutch guy.
Yeah.
So,
now, Jimmy Page did a lot of session work beginning.
He did. You know, a lot of people don't know, but, you know, like on You Really Got Me with the Kinks song, that's him taking the solo.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of those bands relied on, you know, studio musicians as
yeah. Kind of, I guess things haven't really changed too much.
No, not really.
I mean, you got to pay the bills and you got to keep working.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because, you know, when he started Led Zeppelin, he was already a huge star coming off of the Yardbirds. So, and he was a little older than the rest of the band. So he just, and somehow him and Grant, the manager, was able to keep the Yardbirds name.
Really?
Yeah, somehow they had, you know, copywritten the name and had gotten it from the rest of the guys. So,
Jimmy Page hasn't invited you to his castle to sit around the fireplace some cold night or anything?
No, but, you know, I used to hang out with Les Paul. I had a dear friend of mine who knew Les, and we'd go to his house in Mahwah, New Jersey, and hang out. And these guys would be hanging there, like eating popcorn in the kitchen, talking with Les Paul about, you know, what his secret was to make pickups and how many wines they would do. And, you know, it was amazing. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah. What is Les Paul, one of the most incredible people that you've met over the years?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I met Jeff Beck. He was incredible too. He's a great guy as well. And, but you know, Les was such a big part of everything, you know, not just guitar, you know, cause his music was very contemporary of that time, but you know, what we're doing right now, recording.
Yeah.
You know, it was all him. Multi-track recording was his, his invention by himself. You know,
right.
He did it, so.
Now, you've also written some books as well, too,
yeah.
Right? A lot about studio techniques and recording and the music industry. Licensing.
Licensing music. And, you know, it's kind of a thing that now people didn't know about. And so I wanted to kind of supply musicians on how to get their music out. Because, you know, records now have gone down so with sales that, you know, nobody really sells that many records anymore, you know, except for if it's a mainstream, you know, Selena Gomez or something. But other than that, you know, a lot of bands don't get out there and be able to, because there's just no vehicle in order to distribute and to take it. So in a lot of ways, music licensing is a good, you know, alternative revenue for them. You know?
It's almost like for the music industry, music licensing and getting your music into TV commercials is like a whole nother market. I mean, sometimes just totally bypass radio and go right to TV. And then sometimes I hear like a song that I had just played 2 weeks ago on the radio, and then there it is in a TV commercial, which is probably reaching way more people than tuned into my radio show on that particular Wednesday afternoon. But, you know, it's another outlet to get your work out there.
Yeah, and it pays well with the, you know, the sync fees and everything, because they have to pay up front for, you know, the master and the publishing and stuff. So I think, you know, that's a really good avenue for musicians to go, you know, composing and looking at that. And even it's funny because the record industry at one time looked down upon the whole industry, upon the whole television, film, the whole thing. They thought it was, you know, they were very snooty and they thought, oh, that's nothing.
And the internet's nothing.
Yeah, the internet's
what's
nothing.
What's this internet thing?
Oh, my God. And things have changed now. They wound up buying, you know, music production libraries, publishers, huge publishers like, you know, BMG and Universal and all these guys, because, you know, they were not making the money that you used to through publishing, selling records.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the record industry is, you know, taking quite a change at this point.
Right.
So it's come like, you know, 180, like they now love and try to get all of the, you know, television. It used to be like one person in a record company in a corner called Special Projects, and they would try to get, you know, TV play or, you know, or film placement and stuff. And now it's like, you know, one of their main concerns in order to get that. So
yeah. Well, we have time for one more song here, so can you heat up the studio one more time with another song?
We're gonna do Jeff Beck's Freeway Jam.
Here we go. We have Brian Tarquin live on WFIT.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's give it up for Brian Tarquin here at WFIT. Reggie Pryor on drums, Brandon Miller on bass, Brian Tarquin on guitar. A blistering set there.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in today. That was a treat.
Sure. I really love it.
If people would like more information about your music, where can they go?
They can go to basically just go to my site, briantarquin.com or gtrtrax.com.
All right. Find out more information about Brian Tarquin. Again, Brian, thank you so much for coming in. And don't forget to tune into Brian's show every Monday night at 10 p.m. Guitar Tracks right here on WFIT. Thank you.
Thank you.